All right, more restrictions are coming our way here in the city of Chicago. The question is, will they be also applied to other municipalities or these zones as established by the state of Illinois over the next few days? Sam Toya, he's head of the Illinois Restaurant Association, joins us about every other day now because things keep changing so dramatically. Sam, I appreciate your time always. All right, so on Friday, there's going to be a change in health clubs and other kinds of things and numbers of people are going to be in a party in an apartment building. But bars, that's going to be the big thing. No more indoor service as of Friday. Sam, what happened to Sam? Did we lose Sam? I thought that was a beautiful setup. What would you call that, Kevin? A classic technical difficulty.
Oh, even more classic technical difficulties because he's not in the room.
It worse. Sam, are you there, sir?
I'm here. I thought you hung up on me.
Perhaps I did. But
maybe.
All right, so back to this. So the bars are now no longer going to be able to serve people indoors as of Friday. How big of an impact is that?
It's terrible news. Sliding backwards, when we're supposed to be phasing, we want to go keep phasing in more, going from 50 people per room to 100 people per room. So this is definitely terrible news for bars that, just started to reopen indoors and they're trying to stay afoot. This pandemic has killed the hospitality industry here in the city of Chicago. Obviously, we get it. COVID-19 is going up, especially amongst the 18 to 29-year-olds. And it's proven fact out of cities out of like San Antonio and Houston and Phoenix that they saw that COVID-19, they traced it back to people who are at bars. So on a scale of 1 to 10, indoor bars being 10 is where you can catch the COVID-19 very easily. So I get what the mayor and her team are doing. It's just terrible news for the bars. Just terrible.
Is there a way for them to compensate?
Well, I mean, obviously we still have another, maybe six to 8 weeks of nice weather here. So if they have an outdoor patio or even a cafe, the bars can stay open as long as they have six people at a table and they're social distancing. Again, I don't know how you pay your property taxes, how you pay your payroll, how you pay your vendors with just having a rooftop or a cafe at a bar setting. Like I said, it's just terrible news.
As the head of the Illinois Restaurant Association, I know you talked to the national lobbyist for the NRA, National Restaurant Association. What is the chance that they're going to be able to get some money out of Washington, PPP2?
There is a lot of communication going on. I think that, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell knows that something's got to be done here. We've been in contact with Senator Durbin's office and Senator Duckworth's office that we need this. The National Restaurant Association was predicting 20 to 25% of the restaurants could close in the state of Illinois. We started the year with 25,000. That'd be 5,000 restaurant bars that could close. But this pandemic is going on longer and longer. It could go to 30 or 35%. So I think our elected leaders in D.C. are starting to see how bad this is. And we've been in communication with Congressman Quigley and Congressman Garcia that we need something. So, yes, I think a second bite at the PPP could be very helpful to keep our restaurants and bars in business here in the city of Chicago, but throughout the country, because this is devastating throughout the country. I mean, I don't want you look what's happening in San Antonio and Phoenix and Miami and Los Angeles. They're going back even further than we are.
Yeah.
They're closing all indoor dining.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I heard an analysis of this. There was an expectation that as this peaked in the United States, we thought peaked in April into May, that the summer would see, that there would be so much of the social distancing and all the things that we had put into place would have knocked this thing down, with the anticipation that maybe in the fall, as kids went back to school and people started to go back indoors in the north in greater numbers, that there would be a resurgence, but that the summer at least would be a moment for the economy to breathe again. And we haven't really had much of that. I mean, how many weeks have we been in this phase? This is 4 or 5 weeks, right, that we've been able to do this, and now we're starting to see ourselves go the other way. Is there talk, Sam, of changes in restaurants at this moment?
Well, again, because we have the al fresco dining, you know, so a lot of restaurants are doing okay, just okay at best,
yeah.
You know, with the 25% capacity indoor and then having a sidewalk cafe, a rooftop, or setting up their parking lots, it's been okay. Our weather's been pretty good. We haven't had a lot of rainy days since the beginning of June. June was perfect. So it's been okay. But what are we going to do, Ro, if we don't move forward come October? It's going to be decimating to the hospitality industry here in the city of Chicago. We're not L.A., Phoenix, San Antonio, or Miami, you know what I mean, where they can still do al fresco dining in October, November. We can't. So I know that the mayor and her team are starting to think about this as well. What are we going to have to do? You know, get these propane, get tents. We got to start thinking outside the box. We have another 4 to 6 weeks here to think outside the box, but it's not looking good.
All right, Sam, can you hold on 1 second for me? Because I want to
sure.
get back to you. And then phone calls, 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. If you have if you've got questions, you have a restaurant, you have an idea, because I thought, you know, Sam just sparked an idea in my own head about where we should go here for the fall into the winter in Chicago. You see it happen in Europe. We could might be able to try it here. We'll talk about it on the other side. But first, here's Lauren Lapka. She's got the traffic and the weather. Sam Toya joins us from the Illinois Restaurant Association, and bad news for the bar industry in Chicago, at least, and perhaps also in Northern Illinois. Who knows how far this is going to go, but as of Friday, bars can no longer do indoor service. And I just want to clarify something here, because there's been some confusion about the numbers of people who are going to be allowed to congregate, even outdoors. There was the number of 6 or 10 thrown around. Sam, can you
So all you can have is up to 6 people per table. That's either indoor or outdoor. So we go to you know, a place that's doing outdoor dining, we can go with 6 or less people. Up until, well, that's up until Thursday, like you said. So it was 10 or less. Now it's become 6 or less, but that's indoor or outdoor.
All right. So here's a question that people now are starting to think, oh, my God, what are we going to do for the winter when it hits here? Can we still go to a restaurant in the winter? If we can't be inside, can we be outside? We could be inside, outside. And there might be a solution to this. Elizabeth, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Hi, Ro. I've always thought, since I went to Paris in December, and it was freezing cold, but all along the Champs-Élysées, you could sit outside. They have their al fresco dining, and you can get a cafe au lait or a hot chocolate, and you can still eat and enjoy the outside as long as you've got the heaters. And I came home, and for years I said, why don't we do this in Chicago?
Well, we do it in some places, but we do it in a different way. You know, like you've got those portable heaters that people move around. It's got that big deal, and there's always somebody at the table that's sitting too close to it and it's too far away from it and all of that. But then there's other restaurants, and this is what I want to get to. Elizabeth, thank you very much, because that's where I want to lead off into this. There are built-in heaters. Like if you go down to the Triangle, a lot of those restaurants have these devices that are built into the side, and they keep people out there. Unless it's snowing or sleeting, they keep people out there to about 45 degrees. And that's can be fairly comfortable with that unless there's like a, you know, really predominant wind. That's one of the problems we have here. But is it possible to build, you know, like one-sided tents to keep people away from the wind and be able to keep people sort of indoor, outdoor with fans and heaters? I mean, it seems like there must be a solution here.
Like I said before we went to break, this is something we got to explore. We got to think outside the box. So one-sided tents, it's an idea. But we got to think of something, because I'm not sure we're going to be able to move into, within the city of Chicago, to 50% capacity by October. We're at 25% capacity with al fresco dining. So we got to figure out how, if we're staying at 25% capacity, how do we also keep the quasi al fresco dining happening, be it with the heaters and or one-sided tents. And again, we got about seven weeks to figure this out. And I have had some discussions with the mayor and her top people. We have to think about this as October gets closer to us.
Or indoor, what about bubbles? I mean, we use that on the river. The Riverwalk's got one of those restaurants has got like a bubble that you can go into, like for, I think it's up to six people or whatever. Go literally like a bubble table. You go in and it's like an igloo that you go
right
into.
Yep, that's exactly another thing that we can definitely talk about. So we will be looking at other cities, not just here in the United States, but other cities throughout the world. What do they do? Like your last
caller said about Paris.
Said about in Paris. Yep.
But in Germany and Switzerland, even in the mountains where it gets pretty damn cold at night, they've got, or even in Colorado here where it gets cold at night, they have figured out a way to keep people outside for lunch and for dinner in some cases. And I think that's the kind of technology that we have to start looking at here. I know it's expensive, but there has to be a solution here. Otherwise, we're literally going to starve, and that is going to be a problem. Phil, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Phil.
Hey, a couple of thoughts on this, too. The movement on this, I know there's a lot of restaurants and bars that we're looking at the number of cancellations of banquet events, because that's another way you make a lot of money.
Right.
You got your weddings, you got everything that was delayed, and you're crossing your fingers hoping, hey, come September, October, some of these things are going to come back. Now it looks like that's going to be pushed off again. I'm concerned about that. My one other point is, why don't we make these bills something as simple as, hey, restaurant or bar, just come to the state, bring us your biggest bill, whether it's your mortgage, whether it's your power, whether it's something like that else, and we'll reimburse you for that. Instead of this nickel and dime business where they're trying to throw money all over the place, it's not getting to the people who really need it.
That's interesting. But why wouldn't a business owner, if they just got a check for whatever it happens to be, you know, it could be $10,000, $20,000, $100,000. In some cases, I've seen checks of $1 million to some of these restaurant groups. Why wouldn't that be best used at their discretion as opposed to here's a bill for this or here's a bill for that?
So I can't speak to that. My personal experience is I had opened my business late in last year, so I had no significant tax base. So when I went to ask for money for my share of this, I was told I was not eligible for it. And they told me just you're on your own, which was frustrating.
Oh, because you didn't have a receipt to show how much you'd already made, essentially.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so, but again, like for me, if they would have said, hey, we're going to limit your business to 25%, so show us what your mortgage is, and we'll cover 75% of that because that's what we're asking you to hold back.
Interesting. Sam, your thought on that?
I mean, again, it's a good idea. I'm not sure that could get through the United States Congress or the United States Senate like that. I think they like to have a little more clarity, and that's why I think they went the PPP route. Remember, it was 75% for labor, 25% for mortgage, rent, and other expenses. We did get that move to 60% for labor cost and 40% for rent and mortgages and other costs. So I think if we can get a second bite at the apple with a 60-40, 60% for labor costs, 40% for the fixed cost, I think that would probably be something that's easier to pass. And I think we're going to get a second bite at the PPP loan, especially with what's going on in Florida, in Texas, and Arizona.
Illinois is not going to be immune here. The numbers are going up. Hopefully, we will not have the kind of spike that you see in these other states that didn't really go through the close down that we went through. You know, you hope, but as things are starting to creep up, and you know, we don't live in a vacuum. I mean, we don't have a bubble around our state. People move in and out. You know, people are driving in and around from the area. And if Iowa's got a problem, then we're going to have a problem there. And it is surprisingly intractable now. I thought for sure that the summer would be easier than it has been. Paul, I got about a minute left, but go ahead, sir. I want to get your question.
Yeah, I mean, I love all these ideas, but I don't know where I'm going to get the money from. I just spent $5,000 on outdoor seating that is probably going to be good for another month or so. And if you say now I got to somehow create something new inside as you go into the fall, I don't have the money to do it. So how do I survive? Where does it come from?
Is there any? And that's Paul, excellent question.
Yeah.
And I hear you. So I would like to know from Sam Toyer from the Illinois Restaurant Association, is there any kind of an industry fund that is going to work on this?
Yes, that is a very good question. And we, along with the National Restaurant Association, are working with leaders in Washington, D.C. on specifically that equipment that we could get funding for to restaurants so they can buy the tents, buy the heaters, because your last speaker was absolutely right. Where's he going to get all this money? We got to figure out where could these local restaurant owners get money for heaters and tents. So yes, there is a bill out there, the restaurant recovery bill. Mm-hmm. That's part of what else is out there, Ro, because that is a perfect point. Because the restaurant business is a business of nickels and dimes. Now it's become pennies and nickels.
Yes.
Well, and now it's just pennies. So I don't know where you get the money to buy these heaters and tents.
Sam Toya from the Illinois Restaurant Association. Thank you very much, Sam. Appreciate it. We're going to have to leave it there.
Thanks,
we got
Ro.
News.